D. Why is it amusing? B. It just is, no particular reason. This was a very strange feeling, thinking that he somehow was watching me or looking over my shoulder. An invisible someone or B. D. B. D. B. 156. The Legend of Star Crush, something observing what I was doing. I felt a little uncomfortable and kept looking behind me. I don't know what I half expected to see. Tuin the Hunter and ghostly form floating in the air? It was just a normal reaction to the surprise statement, but it gave me a prickly sensation down my spine. I tried to continue as though nothing had happened, although I now had the eerie impression that I was speaking to a ghost which was in the room with me. D. Do you know what the black box is used for? B. Well, since you are not doing any writing or any recording of information, I assume that it has information in it. Rather like some of the things the old ones had. D. It has ways of capturing information. There are many strange things, aren't either? B. Yes. The song of the universe never ends. D. What else do you see as you look at me? B. I see you are surrounded by many things. D. Can you tell me what you mean? B. I do not see them clearly. I mainly see your face. I look around and I see the song of the universe. The dancing of the spheres. D. Beauty, you can see now why I asked the questions. I wanted the knowledge to be remembered. It's very important that it not be lost. B. Because it has been lost totally. D. Yes. You realize that now, don't you? And I am trying to get it back. B. I am glad that I was cooperative when I was down there hunting. D. Yes. Oftentimes when I talk to people, they don't want to answer my questions. B. That is foolish. They have small spirits. They do not sing. D. Well, sometimes the knowledge is secret and they are afraid to tell me. B. They are not singing well. They are out of harmony with the earth. The earth has no secrets. The knowledge in the song is there for all. D. Oh, you were most cooperative. You were very eager to tell me. And I liked this. B. Good. One should be. Knowledge should not be lost. Keeping it secret is not wise. Death of Tuin and Aftermath, 157. D. I think they were afraid some people wouldn't understand, or B. If they are in harmony with the earth, they should understand. D. Sometimes they were afraid Th would be in danger, too. They were afraid Thath would be harmed if knowledge was revealed. B. Well, among my people that would not happen. D. Yes, I know. They were a very good people, very gentle people. But this was why I was asking the questions, and when I discovered it had been lost, I wanted to try to get it back. And I put it in my little black box. B. When it is in the little black box, will other people have the information? D. Yes. For when I take it out of the black box, I will put it on paper and they can read it. B. Paper? Hesmed confused. D. Well, it will be like writing. Do you know what writing is? B. All right, yes. D. Paper is just a material to write on. B. Ah. I understand. D. It will be written down and then many people can read it and they will know about your people. B. Good. D. They will know about your history and who came from. And it will not be lost anymore. B. For another age or so anyhow. D. That's I asked so many questions. I was trying to think of what why people would want to know about your people. B. That explains some of the questions. D. Because things have changed, that's why I wanted to know the way it used to be. And sometimes I think Tuin would get a little aggravated. He didn't know why I was asking so many questions. B. He was not aggravated, just puzzled. D. He couldn't see why I didn't know these things. B. True. D. But hey, see, look at the earth now, you can probably see that many things have changed. 158. The Legend of Star Crush. B. Yes. Poor earth. Man is not in harmony with the earth. It aches. D. That's true. This kind of information might help us to get back into harmony. B. I hope. D. That's why I am always searching for knowledge. I thought it interesting that he or people didn't he have a god concept. Do you know what I mean? They believed in natural spirits.
B. Yes.
The oneness of the universe.
There is no room for a god when you are one with the universe. That takes care of all that needs to be taken care of.
A god would be childish and superfluous.
D. But many people like to think of one being or one god overall.
B. That is stifling for your song.
That makes your song out of harmony with the earth.
For it stifles you from what you should be.
D. Then it better to think of many different spirits,
or what?
B. No.
Everything is united in one, and together in one large entity where everything is in harmony.
I suppose in a way you could think of it as many spirits, as many aspects of the same thing.
As long as you remember that you are in harmony and part of the whole of everything.
This idea of separating things into God and not God and anti-God is out of harmony.
It is not the way it should be.
It is not the way it is.
D. That's what they think. The being they call God is supposed to be one over everything.
B. But that is not the way it is.
Everything is together.
Nothing over anything else.
Everything is together.
D. Yes, to have one above the others would be separating them, wouldn't it?
What are you going to do now?
B. Rest and learn.
And go back.
I see now that there are other people.
Living in the village we never saw any.
I see the immensity of space.
I am looking around at things that I could never see when I was alive.
D. How do you feel about it?
B. It is beautiful.
The harmony and the song of life is much more intricate and much bigger than I had ever dreamed.
D. What are you looking at now?
Death of Tuin and of the Ermath, 159.
B. I am looking at the whole planet.
D. As you look at that, can you tell me where village was?
On what part of their planet?
You didn't know whenever you were living there.
B. That is true.
Shall I use your labels or mine?
D. Whatever.
I like your labels.
Tell me those anthem we could compare.
B. Well, it does not matter.
D. What would your labels be?
B. Oh, descriptions of shapes mostly.
D. Tell me this first.
B. All right.
There is a land that is like a horn and it is hooked to another land by a narrow neck.
And this other land is like a bowl.
It has mountains on both sides and it is flat in the middle.
And it stretches from one bowl almost to the other.
That is one description.
Another description would be of a land like a shield with islands all around.
And there is a land that is like a horn with extremely high mountains on it.
Your labels would be, this last one would be India, with the mountains and land like a horn.
The land like a shield with islands all around it would be China and Russia, Asia.
The one like a horn is South America connected by a narrow neck to the land like a bowl, which is North America.
D. On which one of these pieces of land was the village located where you lived as a hunter?
B. North America.
In the mountains of Western Canada.
Finally, we had found the answer I had been searching for.
D. I kept wondering where it was.
Could you look at the planet today and be more specific?
B. Northwestern Canada, in the mountains close to Alaska.
D. That was where the village was located.
A. So look at it, can you see what happened to the people that lived in that village?
Did they ever leave that valley?
B. They did not leave, but some people came in eventually.
At first there was a clash. But then the people who lived in the village lost their sight of being in harmony.
They had to be able to. 160.
The legend of Star Crush survived the other people.
When they married into the other people, they were gradually absorbed.
D. What kind of people were the other ones?
B. They were Eskimos.
D. The people that wore the furs and lived in snow houses?
B. Yes.
Or in wood and skin leantos in the summer.
D. How did they discover a people?
B. A hunting expedition.
They had been gradually spreading.
They were multiplying and moving out and taking up more room.
And eventually they came to that valley.
D. But they didn't understand these people.
Did they?
B. Well, they did learn from the village.
It helped their spiritual development to where they became aware of the spirits and tried to stay in harmony with the spirits.
They were like children that had never been taught.
And they did not know what to do to stay in harmony.
They did not do as good a job, but they tried.
D. Were there more of these Eskimos than the villagers?
B. Eventually, yes. The hunting expedition, no, but later more of them came. D, you said there was a clash. Do mean there was a fight of some kind? B, not really. There was just suspicion on both sides. And some verbal arguments took place. D, I can imagine the people in the village must have been very shocked when they saw other people. B, yes. By this time what I had told them had become a legend about the crazy hunter who said there was other people. And then when the Eskimos came traipsing down the valley they were surprised to see that it was true. D, but there was nothing they could do, was there? B, no. You cannot hide forever. D, and eventually the Eskimos interbred. Whatever happened to the legends of the villagers? B, they were gradually forgotten or absorbed by the Eskimos and changed and blended with their legends. Some of them were passed down. Some of the underlying concepts mainly were, death of Tuin and aftermath, absorbed by the new people and were passed down, but the details were lost. D, the new people would have had their own legends, wouldn't they? B, true. But the concept could still be absorbed into their legend structure. D, they combined the two that way. Can you see what happened to the things in the wise manshut? B, they eventually ended up being buried. D, the people didn't he understand what they were? Is that why they buried them? B, some of them, yes, because the legends associated with them had been forgotten. And some of them were buried deliberately. Particularly after the first contact with the Eskimos. They thought, we do not want these people to have this. This is for the spirits. And so they buried it. D, what about that large thing that had all the little knobs on it? B, yes, that was buried with one of their wise men. D, after the Eskimos came in they bury each that one especially. B, no, it had already been buried with one of the wise men. D, the old wise man? B, no, another one? I do not know which one. They did not know what it was for. And the wise man had been well loved, so they did it to honor him. D, what about the things like the hat and the pieces of metal? B, the hat accidentally became broken and could not be repaired. Since no one knew what it was for anymore, it was thrown away. Very careless, those descendants. D, I didn't think it would break. B, neither did I, but, I do not know what happened. D, and the other things, the pieces of metal and things like they were buried whenever the B, either buried or used up. D, they didn't want the Eskimos to have these things. B, well, pieces of metal were not any big problem because there was hardly any metal left when the Eskimos came. 162. The Legend of Stark Rush, D, B, D, B. Was this many generations after Tuin lived there? Yes, several generations. Then the legends were either forgotten or were changed both. Some were forgotten, that happens. And when the Eskimos came, they started swapping legends. Some were different, some were similar, and the children blended them all together and they gradually changed. Then some were forgotten. It is a natural cycle. D. Then the Eskimos did adopt some oft habits of fear people. What do you think of those legends now that you're on the other side and can look at it like this? B. They were amazing. D. Do you think there was truth behind it? B. Yes, there was. That is what makes them amazing, that they were able to keep so much intact for so long. D. Yes, Tuin's life was very narrow, very limited in what he could see. B. All he had was his five senses. But his people saw a lot with their spirits. They could have closed themselves off, but they didn't. This was good for their karma. D. They developed that to a high degree. Didn't they? B. Yes, they did. One aspect they deliberately shut off was being able to hear the animals. But it was best. They had to shut that part off for survival. D. I thought that was what happened. The legend said they didn't want to hear the animals speak anymore, because at one time they could speak? Did he mean it was mental? B. Yes, they could hear the animal pleading that they wanted to live. And it put too much mental stress on them. D. That's what I thought he meant, that they had shut off that ability. B. But that was a matter of survival, so that did not count against their karma. D. Hestel used a great deal of psychic ability in order to locate the animals. Chapter 14. The origin of the old ones relives the time of their death and they cross the portal to the other side of our reality. An interesting phenomenon occurs. I have watched this happen so often that I come to expect it when this point in a regression is reached. When they are once again in the spirit state, they shed the physical body like a suit of old worn-out clothes, and with it go the inhibitions and limitations that the physical has imposed. When a person is alive in the physical world, they are only aware of those events and that knowledge that is presented to them through their physical senses and experience. Tuin's world was extremely limited and he did not know the knowledge that might lie behind the legends he had heard all of his life. With the shedding of the physical body, there was also the shedding of these limitations. I knew that if Tuin followed the repeated pattern which I had observed, that he would have access to expansive knowledge in the spirit state. And the origin of the old ones could finally come forth from its hiding place if that font of knowledge could be tapped. I had made many deductions on my own, but there were still many unanswered questions. I felt a compelling need to find the answers, so I turned my search in that direction. When a regressed subject, D. We are now, you have much more knowledge, don't you? 163-164. The Legend of Star Crush, B. Yes, I understand a lot more. One is always gaining more knowledge. That is part of life. D. Well, I was wondering about the old ones, and about what really happened. I thought maybe could see more now than you knew from your legends. I believe the legends were very accurate, weren't they? B. Yes, they were surprisingly accurate. They were vague in several places, but that is to be expected, because of the length of time they involved. My people placed great emphasis on trying to keep things accurate. And I believe they did a good job considering that nothing was written down. D. There was such a long distance of time. That's amazing that they were able to keep it all together. B. Yes. The emphasis was there, which gave extra impetus to keep things accurate. I see that there are some peoples who like to embellish their stories and change them, and after a few centuries they have been so simplified that they make no sense anymore. D. Yes. Many people do that. They try to make them more interesting. Your legends did contain a great deal of the truth. B. Yes. They were vague. Some details were lost through time, but it's unavoidable on the physical plane. D. Is there anything that you could tell me about the old ones that you didn't know then? B. Perhaps. I could tell you what I see. D. Did they come from this world? B. Emphatic, no. They came from another world, from across the void. They came from another part of the galaxy. There was political upheaval. That was the reason why they had to leave. They knew they would not be going back, so they left with the intention of finding another place to live. On the planet where they came from, there was much political unrest. They had a planet-wide government, and they were on the verge of going into a civil war. They had weapons capable of destroying the planet and all life. But they decided, no, we do not want to do this. We want to live. What shall we do? And they reached the origin of the old ones. 165. D. B. D. B. Compromise. One of the parties in this political unrest, the party that was somewhat in the minority, loved their planet so much they didn't want it to be destroyed. So they agreed to leave, and they had the technology to do this. The basic underlying problem of the political situation was whether or not to establish colonies on other planets. The ruling majority did not want to do this, and there was a minority who did. And the situation was rising to fever pitch. So they decided, in order to cool down the situation and save their planet, that the minority would leave and establish a colony. But with the understanding that they would have no contact with the home planet, since the home planet did not want colonies. And they agreed to do this, for they did not want their planet to be destroyed. They felt they would have the best of both worlds this way. Their home planet would not be destroyed, plus they would be able to establish colonies. If they were having all this unrest with the capability of destroying the planet, why would their leaving stop that? Because the main ones who were agitating for colonies would no longer be there to agitate. The general populace, like most general populaces anywhere, were neutral and didn't really care one way or the other. And the ones who were going to migrate, so to speak, to go offend the ships, were the ones that were causing the trouble? Yes, they were kind of rubbing the government the wrong way. The main government could have decided, yes, we'll do this. But they were somewhat bureaucratic and they were saying for some abstruse reason, no, that's impossible. We need the people here. We need to keep the technology here. It would not have hurt the planet because the planet was prosperous and they had a high standard of living. And indeed, it would have eventually benefited the planet to establish colonies. But the ones that were in the government were narrow-minded about it. The group who were agitating for colonies had some rich supporters. And they got together and built some ships, and, 166, the legend of Star Crush, decided they would go off on their own anyway. And the government gave their unspoken consent thinking that. D. Thinking they would get rid of the agitators that way. B. Yes. To save them a lot of trouble, because they had been a thorn in their side for quite some time. So they left. There were 5 large colony ships. In all it was about. How many people was it? He paused as though thinking, altogether it was close to 5,000 people that left. D. Had this plant done space travel before? B. Oh, yes. D. Then it was something that was common. They just didn't have colonies? B. Right. They had extensively explored their system and they had mining operations on some of the moons that were mostly composed of minerals. One of the reasons why the planet was prosperous was because the land that was not being lived on was mostly agrarian. Most of the industries had moved out into space. The mining companies were on some of the small rocky moons of some of the other planets. And it worked out very well. They just didn't establish colonies because the government felt that people would not want to be permanently marooned away from their planet. The miners and the people who worked out in space had rotating shifts. A certain number of days on a job, and then a certain number on the home planet. There would be several thousand working in space, but they were rotating back and forth to where there would only be, say, a couple of thousand out at any one time. And the rest would be on the home planet for their ground shift. But it was continuously rotating, so they had steady traffic back and forth. D. This was the first time they had ever gone so far away. B. Yes. They were going to be leaving their solar system. It was a time of great turmoil on that planet. And probably everyone involved had mixed reasons for going. Many were probably not sure themselves exactly why they were leaving. There were many scientists that went with the group, and they were excited about the origin of the Old Ones. 167. D. B. D. B. D. B. D. It. There were other scientists who wanted to go but couldn't. The main stumbling block was the government, which was somewhat planet-bound. Through no fault of their own. They just didn't have as much foresight as they could have had. But it sounded as though they expected never to come back. Yes, they knew they would never come back. You say the ERA 5 ships that left. What happened to the others? Did only one come to Earth? Yes, it malfunctioned and could not make it any further. The ships were geared to be multi-generation type ships. Each generation between the succeeding generation had to pass down all their skills, so that the ship could keep running and the knowledge be continued. And so the descendants would know what was involved and what was trying to be done, without losing the purpose of the journey. Do you mean that the people who ended the journey were not the same ones who began it? No. Their distance was several light years and they did not have faster than light travel yet. They were trying to develop it. But they had not accomplished it yet. The speed that they could travel was close to the speed of light, but it would still take many, many years to get from one star to another. The star they were aiming towards was similar to their own star. It was towards the red end of the spectrum, so they were heading for it. They had strong evidence that there would be a planet habitable for them. And as they journeyed through the years in space, they set up each ship as a city in itself. There were families. People were married and had children. They had facilities for learning, and as the children grew up they were educated as they had been on the planet, even a university type of training. Each child could decide what field he wanted to go into, and he would be trained for that. All the children were given extensive cultural training so they would not forget the type of culture they sprang from. If the ship was in flight for so many years, what kind of power source did it operate on? 168. The Legend of Star Crush, B. Nuclear fusion. Not fission like you have, but fusion. D. What is the difference? B. Your scientists are trying to develop fusion. Nuclear fission is when atoms are split apart to release energy and hence, a lot of radioactivity and such. Somewhat messy. On the other hand, once the technology is developed for fusion, it is more easily controlled to where you are binding atoms together instead of splitting individual atoms into fragments. D. Oh, it's the opposite. B. Right. And when you bind them together it also releases energy, but you don't have to contend with such high radiation from it. And as long as you have material to feed it, it can continue combining atoms. It doesn't matter what the fuel source is. Anything physical, air, water, wood, metal, cloth, anything that has matter to it can be used as fuel. Because the way they had their system set up, they had an energy field that would split things up into individual atoms, into a kind of energy plasma type of thing. I don't know the technical words too well. And it would feed the atoms together at a predetermined rate, so that they would combine and release a certain amount of energy at the required rate. They had these ships set up so they would be self-sustaining. In an enclosed environment like that, the main problem is usually excess water, from condensation and such as that. So they would often feed water to the process to get rid of the excess water. D. This was one of the materials they used? B. Yes, they could use anything that is matter. And so they had no problem with energy source. They had brought material on hand for this. D. I thought they would have to carry a great deal of material if they were traveling over all those generations. B. They didn't need that much. Nuclear energy is efficient and compact, and the combining of atoms creates a tremendous amount of energy. It is much like your atomic bombs, but it is controlled and not explosive. It is the same amount of energy, the origin of the old ones. 169. D. B. D. B. D. B. D. B. D. B. D. But it is being used for thrusting and nothing explodes and nothing is violent, but you get a sense of the amount of energy involved. Instead of being uncontrolled as in a bomb, it is controlled as an electric current. I figured that all these people had to have food supplies, and they wouldn't have a lot of room for energy supplies to feed the motors or whatever it was. That is correct. There was some material that was more efficient than others, and so naturally they carried these. But they knew that if they happened to get low, they could feed anything into the engine and still be able to travel. I've heard that sometimes crystals were used in propulsion and energy sources on spaceships. Did they use anything like that? Yes. Their nuclear fusion devices weren't exactly what your scientists would call nuclear fusion devices, but these are the closest words in your language. The energy involved was not purely atomic, there were other planes of energy, of finer levels than atomic, subatomic type energies that had to be focused through crystals. And various crystals with different matrices were used to focus the energy in different ways for various specific purposes. What about their food supplies? Could they replenish that? Yes. They had hydroponic gardens, and they had places on the ship set up for growing greens and such as that. Their food was continually replenishing because they were growing it. They had a section of the ship designed for this. It must have been a large ship. Yes, they were huge. The picture that Yuan drew of the design of blankets was that for the accurate shape of the ship. That was somewhat crude. It actually represented one of their shuttles that they used for going from ship to ground. Instead of landing the larger ship every time, they would merely use a shuttle to go back and forth from the ships that were rotating. Then the main ship that crash head didn't he look like that? 170. The Legend of Star Crush, B. No. The ships had been constructed in space because they were so large. They could land, but ideally they would only have to land once or twice. They were basically designed to stay in space, and so they were shaped differently. D. What shape was the main ship?